from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few. Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, you ready for some football? You know, sort of. It is Dukes and Bell. We start every hour, every show with a big old, hey man. It's Chris Thomas in for Carl today, as we said, taking his lovely daughter back to Lexington where she's going to school. So Carl's got the day off today, 3-day weekend for him, and hope you guys are ready for some football. We do have as John Malkovich said, is Teddy KGB, and Rounders like a young man coming in for a quickie. We are here for 3 hours today, but we're going to pack it full of Falcons, some Braves, some Olympic talk on the back end as well, as we're really caught up and really totally overwhelmed by how amazing that comeback was for USA basketball. I know that's been talked about today,
yeah.
But now it's time for some football. And real quick, as I heard on the tail end of Andy Randy, Chris, some news out of New England. They're releasing Juju Smith-Schuster. I know immediately whenever a name that you recognize pops out, Falcon fans immediately, and they already jump on our Twitter and our text lines and stuff. I mean, we do have some receivers. We drafted a young wide receiver. I don't know if we have the requisite funds to do that. You can make some money move to make it work. But would you have any interest in Juju Smith-Schuster?
Nope. Not because of anything about Juju Smith-Schuster. He had a bad year last year, Mike, with the Patriots. His one and only season now there. Had a good year with the Chiefs before that. But he is a headache. He is not worth the price of admission, in my opinion.
Right.
The guy that had, you know, a couple thousand yard seasons in Pittsburgh, I don't think, or one, and then yes. He had one, and then another one that was close. And right. I don't think he's that guy anymore. And quite frankly, Mike, we have other positions that if we're going to spend money on, I'd much rather see first.
The COVID year, he had 9 touchdowns, which is nice. The 1,400 yards and 7 touchdowns was 2018.
Yep.
As he looked like, you know, the heir apparent for Antonio Brown. But, he's just not worth the drama, guys. And I think we've got enough pieces that fit. Now, he wants to come in here and play on a prove-it deal at this stage of his career. I'm not sure that would be it. He's still only 27.
Yeah.
He's not 28 until November. So, I mean, somebody will take a flyer on him, but it's just a name that immediately draws a reaction from our fan base because you know the name.
I want to see number 82 out there, and that is Casey Washington.
We talked about it yesterday. I mean, we literally were watching him at practice the last day on the walkthrough on, what was it, Tuesday.
Yep.
And then we see him go up there and, you know, in Miami. He's looked like apparently making some plays. But that's a guy to be looking for. By the way, we're going to give you some numbers, actual uniform numbers, because a lot of folks didn't get to go to camp. But guys, you should be looking for him both offense and defense later in the show.
Yeah, he's a guy that with the absence of Rondale Moore, I think could really step up. And other guys like Ray McLeod are going to get an opportunity as well. So I don't think the wide receiver room, again, is where you need to allocate any more resources that are going to be spent. The Falcons, I think they only have about $2 or $3 million left in the cap space. So again, if you want to go down the restructure lane like you did with Julio and Matt a few years ago, I don't think that's a plan that the Falcons have in their sights.
Like I said, if you can get him cheap on a prove-it deal, sure, but yeah, I'm not going to go crazy on that one. Hey man, it is Dukes and Bell, and yeah, we got preseason football. You know you're not going to see Kirk Cousins, and here he is talking about really wanting to play, but again, you know, he's got 8 weeks deeper into the season when he popped his Achilles, unlike Aaron Rodgers.
It's a calculated deal of if you could promise me I'm coming out feeling no worse for the wear, absolutely, I'd love to play all four quarters. But the reality is that you can't promise me that. And so you have to be calculated and say, hey, risk versus reward. Let's get all we can in these 2 days and then we'll protect you is really the thought process. And it has been around the league now for a while. And I got to get as many mental reps as I can standing there with the earpiece in, looking at the coverage and trying to make sure that I'm saying to myself, okay, I go to the scout route there. Okay, I throw the sit. Okay, I progress backside of the base. Okay, get to Bijan here. So you're kind of playing the game from the sideline as you're watching.
Heard that earlier on Andy Randy. I like that, though, because people always kind of scoff, like a mental reps. But he just gave you the definition of what it is. I mean, that's literally what he's going to be doing on the sideline. And he's a guy that's seen a lot of – he's seen some things in his career in the NFL. And eventually he'll be under center in week one. One more from Kirk Cousins, you know, picking his spots, taking off and running, because immediately I can imagine probably some guys in that coaching staff going, no! But Kirk is he's an athlete. He wants to compete.
You know, as a player, you got to take off and run sometimes. Yeah. People are going to be covered. An offensive lineman might get edged. And so what I don't want to do is train my instincts to sit back there all day and go through my reads and be a pocket passer, knowing that too many times it's not perfect and you got to go take it off and make a play. So I tell coach, you know, hey, I understand your desire to protect me. I'm protecting myself, but I do have to train my instincts that when the best decision is to run, I got to go. And I don't want, you know, week one against Pittsburgh to be the first time I do that. So it's a balance and we'll keep finding that balance.
The last couple of practices, Mike, it's been pretty funny. There's been at least two or three times where Kirk has, I don't want to say turned on the Jets because right. That would be an exaggeration, but he definitely finished the play as if it was a live play as opposed to blowing the whistle dead. And you could tell Coach Ra, as Kirk just said in that bite, not a fan. He feels like Kirk should be sticking to the protocols that they've allowed for them. And Kirk scooting outside a little bit of the pocket, not in the game plan.
Yeah, I know that Kirk Cousins is, as we said, a competitor. He wants to get in the mix, and he wants to do everything that he's used to doing. But, yeah, there's a time and place, and now is not it. But we do appreciate his juice. Michael Penix, man, I can't wait. I know you guys out there can't wait to see him. I know we've gone round and round about the draft strategy. I would have just drafted Penix. You know that, and spent the money on defense and just trust this guy's going to be ready to go. You take your lumps, just like we saw with Jordan Love and we saw with C.J. Stroud as they got their reps, and then they got so much better at the end of the season. I think you'll see some good, maybe some bad. Hopefully not too much bad for Michael Penix tonight, but you will see Michael Penix. Here's him talking about getting on the field and what it's going to be like.
Man, it's going to be fun. You know, it's a blessing, you know, a dream come true. I mean, I always dreamt of being here, you know, but now that I'm here, I got to stay here. You know, I got to show that, you know, I belong here, and that's what I'm going to do each and every day. You know, the way I go about my business and, you know, attacking each and every day like it's my last, you know, that's all I can do. So
that's what he's done at camp. I mean, anytime he's had a throw, you see him. He's literally living and dying with every throw. Like if he underthrows something, you see him, he's like, oh! And then he goes over and he talks to Zach Robinson, talks to his quarterback coach, and they're, you know, T.J. Yates, and they're working these things out. But he's super competitive, and the ball just – you'll see it tonight. I think it translates on TV. You saw it in the college game last year, Chris. The ball just zoom, comes out quick.
Yeah, and when you see it in person, it's a next-level thing. I'm excited, Mike, to see him under the type of pressure where he doesn't know that the whistle's going to stop. Because all we've seen so far, whether it's the joint practices in Miami or the practices at Flowery Branch, is that when pressure comes, you know that that whistle's coming. So you have that relief. There's no anxiety attached to it. I want to see when he sees a aquamarine jersey coming at him, what his response is going to be, because those are the types of things that rookies tend to make their biggest mistakes with.
Hey, man, we talked about some of the guys to watch for. Casey Washington out of Illinois, he's a number 82.
Yep.
So watch him when he's on the field, because as Rondale Moore goes out with that unfortunate season-ending knee injury. Now it's an opportunity for some other guys. Also, Chris Blair, now, and again, not a name you might be familiar with, from Alcorn State. He's been around the league, bounced around on some practice squads. He's also a guy who's made some big plays in the preseason practices.
Yeah, he has. There's been a couple of guys as well. Carlos Washington on the ground, number 28. He's a guy that you want to keep an eye on as well. I'm excited to see what the running back rotation is going to be like, Mike. I doubt Algier gets any run. Obviously, Bijan's not going to get any run if the ones aren't going to go out there. But our guy, Jace McClellan, too, out of Alabama, the bowling ball, we're going to see if he gets some work as well. So I'm excited to see what the backfield can do.
Yep, and we've talked so much about, you know, who are these dudes on defense and who's going to be stepping up. I know that, Rook Aroro, this is a guy that they took the flyer on. He's as big as a house. He's a big dude, and you won't be able to miss number 98. They gave him a number which kind of indicates they expect big things. You're wearing 98 on defensive line. They're expecting you to be crashing some skulls.
Yeah, he obviously, with the expectations of moving up to draft him, you would think he would be a major part of the rotation. But there's Kentavious Street. There's right. Brandon Dorlus. There's Braylon Trice. There's Grady Jarrett, David right. Onyemata. It's not that easy.
Now, I really, really want to stay away from buying a Falcons jersey because, as you guys know, whether it's Braves, Falcons.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
United, kiss of death, Florida State. Whenever I buy a jersey, bad things tend to happen. So I'm gonna do Braylon Trice a favor and not order a 48. But I'm looking forward to seeing him in action tonight. He looks the part. He's got attitude and edge. He was a defensive captain at Washington. You heard Carl and I's conversation with him last week. He's an impressive dude. I'm really looking forward to watch. So 48 tonight. So we'll give you more numbers and names throughout the show. We come back, though. We'll talk to our man, Bryant McFadden. Get his vibe on what's going on in Pittsburgh. I know he's got strong opinions about who should be at under center when they play us in week one. This hour of the show is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Falcons Dolphins tonight on the game. BMAC coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Dukes and Bell with our man Chris Thomas in for Carl today. Minor upset in track and field today. If you don't want to know, hold your ears. Once again, the U.S. men show they just can never figure out the the 4x100. It was wet conditions, though, after beautiful weather the last 2 weeks. So the rain is back in Paris, so you'll see that tonight on the coverage at NBC. But it was kind of a buzzkill. Canada takes home the gold. You were, what, bronze, right, for U.S.? We took
in
third.
I think they wound up finishing like 6th or 7th, actually.
What was it? Oh, so it was another red, white, and blue country. So it was either Cuba or somebody else who took. So wow, that really is worse than I thought.
But there was like I won't spoil it, but there was like a Larry Moe and Curly moment that you don't want to miss.
Right. We've seen it. You know, it's just amazing. We've got some of the most amazing athletes. Years ago, we had Edwin Moses in studio, and we talked about it. And he said, look, these guys are, some of them are such individuals, and they're, you know, and they don't practice this stuff enough. I mean, you'd like to think, but it's almost like throwing together your national team for World Cup. It doesn't look as good as like a Champions League where guys all play together. In this case, the discipline to get it right. Anyway, more on that later in the show. Let's talk to a man. I don't know, was B-Mac a track star in high school? Let's find out. Brian McFadden joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Our weekly visit with two-time Super Bowl winner, All Things Considered, is one of the great podcasts that's out there, along with Patrick Peterson. Were you a track man, too?
I wasn't a track star, but I ran high school, no question. Ran the 100, 200, 4x1.
Right. All we did was run from the cops. I wasn't good at that either. Hey, man, let's get into it. Let's start with the Steelers. Do you think that the Justin Fields, you know, and Russell, I just think Tomlin is more of a Fields guy than a Russell Wilson guy for a number of reasons, man. Do you think we're going to see Fields starting against the Falcons in week one?
You know what? I mean, if you asked me that question maybe 2 months ago, I'd have said no. Mm-hmm. But now I think there's some realness to that question because Russ has been injured. He's been on the shelf. And because of that, Justin Fields has received all the reps when it comes to running with the ones, and he's looked fairly good. So it's more of a competition now than it has ever been because of the injury to Russell. So to answer your question, if it was to happen, I wouldn't be surprised, because until Russell gets healthy enough to be able to run with the ones and participate in the preseason, you know, it's Justin Fields' show, and he's gaining a lot of traction on Russell Wilson when it comes to being QB1 for the Steelers.
B-Mac, when it comes to the Falcons, their first preseason game is tonight versus the Dolphins. Most of the starters, if all, not expected to play. But what can you gain? What is it most important for the players that are on the field to learn from the game in their first preseason action?
I think knowing that the majority of the starters won't participate, it's for the young guys, man, just showing that you belong. You know, trying to catch a coach attention based on special teams, based on offensively and defensively, just showing that you belong. You know, make a play. Find a way to make a play. So this is an opportunity for a lot of the young guys, guys who are young, guys who are not starting right now for the Falcons, to really get reps, to take advantage of those reps, so you can kind of create some type of conversation based on who you are as a player and what you can do within the organization.
We know that we saw Mike Hughes get burned by Tyreek Hill, but Tyreek Hill does that to a lot of guys, you know, in preseason and regular season. But we also saw Clark Phillips with a nice pick. That's a hell of a test, though, going up against Waddle and Tua and Tyreek, isn't it?
Oh, that's great work. Now, you might not look your best based on the speed you're going against, but you won't cover a duo of faster wide receivers than what Miami currently has with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. So for Atlanta, you know, I think that is a concern defensively for the Falcons, secondary play specifically, you know, with the cornerbacks. This is a great week to kind of get some work against some high-level players, not to mention the chemistry they have with Tua, who is throwing them the football. So, you know, when you see guys give up a pass here and there, it happens, you know, but when you talk about giving up passes to two of the faster wide receivers in the National Football League, I mean, sometimes you get the bear, sometimes the bear get you.
Talking all things NFL with our buddy Bryant McFadden, co-host of All Things Covered, the podcast, CBS NFL analyst, right here on Dukes of Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. B, I've been seeing a ton of coverage about what's going on in Indy with Jonathan Taylor, with Anthony Richardson. It looks like they're going to be a dynamic duo in Indy. Do you think that division is just going to be handed to the Texans, or is it a real competition?
Oh, it's a real competition. It's a real competition under the assumption that Anthony Richardson can stay healthy. Right? That's the concern. For a guy to be, what, 6'4", 245-ish, running low 4.4s and wasn't durable at all, that's a concern. He was knocked out with a concussion. I think he had season-ending shoulder surgery. So can he stay healthy? But then get this, guys. Anthony Richardson only played in 4 ball games. Mm. right?
Right.
In two of those ball games, I don't think he made it to halftime. But he had seven total touchdowns and one interception in those four appearances and only played in two full ball games. Think about those numbers. Seven total touchdowns, one interception. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't think Jonathan Taylor was in the mix with him because he was holding out for that contract and then he got hurt.
Right.
So when you talk about that duo in the backfield, if both guys can stay healthy, yes, they can make things very, very interesting. I mean, I think we all would take the Texans to be the lead dog in the AFC South, right? But you can't sleep or overlook the Indianapolis Colts, especially if Anthony Richardson can stay healthy.
It is our man B-Mac here on the WadeFor.com hotline. We were talking yesterday, Carl and I, Caleb Williams, get to see him on the Hard Knocks up in Chicago. Interesting, I thought, get your take on this, that a guy like Cliff Kingsbury is a consultant for USC, and then when given the chance to work with a guy he was around at USC, he goes to D.C., and he works with Jaden Daniels. I know a lot of guys have been piling on, Caleb. I mean, but do you make anything out of that smoke?
Well, I don't know. Was he given an opportunity with Chicago?
Oh, yes, he was, like, apparently. At least according to published reports. Yeah, in the offseason, yeah.
Was it the same opportunity, same amount of money? Like, I think those are things that you have to really weigh in when it comes to making a professional decision within your career. But I don't read too much into that. I think when you look at what they did at SC, Caleb and Cliff, they both had success with each other, right? So they found a way to generate some type of success. He didn't generate a lot of wins, but just from the individual side of things, they were successful. Watching Hard Knocks, I watched it as well. You know, I'm thinking, like, Caleb is starting to really understand what it means to be a professional quarterback, and I love seeing what the guys are saying about him and being wanting to be in his space. As a matter of fact, guys, I get an opportunity to go visit Caleb Williams this week at Bears training camp. So I get a chance to see Caleb and the rest of the guys up close and personal, which I'm excited about because I think this could be a playoff caliber team, the Bears.
Sticking in that division, as you were just alluding to there, how close of the gap do you think it is between the Lions, the Packers, and the Bears in that division?
I think the Packers are closer to Detroit than Chicago is. And the reason why is because they had great success last year. You look at the postseason success, winning a road playoff game. You look at another year with Jordan Love, with a handful of wide receivers who might not spark your interest when you talk about their names. But look at the production those guys had. I mean, he had four wide receivers, who are all young, by the way, that had at least four receiving touchdowns. And they did so. They didn't have a lot of success without their most talented guy being healthy in Christian Watson. I mean, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed actually led them in receiving yards and receptions. And Wicks, you talk about four young wide receivers that really, really grew up a lot and fast. And then you bring in Josh Jacobs. So I like that mix. And I'm going to tell you this much. I think their defense is going to be a very, very stout unit. I think Rashawn Gary can have at least 14 or 15 sacks this year. So I think Green Bay clearly they're closer to Detroit than the Chicago Bears just because of the uncertainty when you talk about having a rookie quarterback. You know, you hope for the best, but you don't know exactly how that will play out. We saw Jordan Love, and I think Jordan Love is going to continue to develop.
It is our man, Brian McFadden, two-time Super Bowl winner with the Steelers, and he joins us here on Dukes and Bell with Chris and for Carl. We got about 40 minutes ago, it broke that the Patriots are moving on from Juju Smith-Schuster. He's had a 1,000-yard season. He's been close to a 1,000-yard season. He won a Super Bowl ring with the Chiefs. He's not as much of a pain in the butt as Antonio Brown, but he does have high-maintenance tendencies. What would your thoughts with the Falcons if they wanted to? We got Darnell Mooney. We've drafted. We'd have to make some moves money-wise, but would you have any interest in a Juju Smith-Schuster here?
I mean, if I'm Atlanta, I'll say no. And the reason why I'll say no, guys, is because when it comes to wide receivers, the issue for Atlanta, me personally, I had with Atlanta wide receiver-wise, was a lack of speed. Like, the big play threat. Now, you were able to address one of those concerns when you brought in Mooney. And then when you brought in Rondale Moore, no question, he brought speed and a shiftiness to him. But now losing Moore, I mean, you kind of put in the same predicament you were a year ago, even though you have Mooney. So you got to go get somebody who has the element of speed that people may respect. For Juju, you know, that's never been his game. So right. if I'm Atlanta, I'm looking for guys that can really create separation with speed. I'm looking for guys who can catch a five-yard slant, make somebody miss. That Rondale Moore, I understand, you know, it's been talked about, but that's a big blow because he was going to be like that joystick player for the offense. You know, being able to do a lot with him, similar to how the Dolphins utilized Tyreek Hill, you know, in motion and back in the backfield at the slot. And you have to respect his speed and quickness. You know, so you lose that. You got to. I'm not saying you can get the same type player on the street, but hopefully someone that can give you an element of speed, something that can really help this offense.
And just a guy that, you know, a couple of years ago just had a nifty knack for getting in the end zone and finding gaps. Talking about Hunter Renfro, fell off last year, missed a lot of time. You know, maybe not the same guy, but I would imagine he's 28 and he's out there on the float. I just thought that'd be a nice guy for somebody, if not for the Falcons, because he seemed like, you know, maybe he can catch with the right team and still be an offensive piece.
And he's shifty, right, Mike?
Right.
Chris, he's shifty. I mean, he's not a burner, but when it comes to creating separation in the slot, that's where he made his money. And, like, it's crazy about how fast he fell from grace.
Right.
I mean, at one point in time, he was a big contributor for the Raiders, and something happened. I don't know if it was inside the building or whatever it was, but it was like, you know, he fell off. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the shiftiness is something that is needed in offenses nowadays. When you look at high-level offenses, they got shifty guys. They got guys that can make you miss. Guys can get, you know, get on top of the coverage. And for Atlanta, with having a guy like Kirk Cousins, you know, you want to be able to throw it around, but you want to also have that element of speed, man, that people have to be mindful of when they're trying to go against your offense.
B, before we let you go, Aaron Rodgers just cannot keep his mouth shut, man. Again, yesterday, he apparently skips practice because there was a little drizzle in the air and he didn't want to potentially hurt himself by slipping in the rain. But then he goes on after practice to call it, quote, forward thinking, not to sit or not to practice in the rain. I mean, what do you make of the Jets and their ability to actually put this thing together? Because for me, between him and all of his antics, I don't know if they have what it takes.
That's the concern for me. I mean, I was really buying into the hype the Jets potentially could have this season. But as you talked about some of the off-the-field antics, you know, coming from Aaron Rodgers, it kind of makes me believe there's a disconnect between Aaron Rodgers and the head coach, Robert Saleh, I think. I mean, it seems like they're not on the same page. When it goes back to Aaron Rodgers missing a mandatory mini camp because he had a retreat or something like that he wanted to attend. I mean, he was there during OTAs, but it felt like there was still a disconnect between the two. And now hearing this, it's like, okay, really? And usually when you talk about a star player missing a practice when he's, quote-unquote, cleared and healthy, usually you get the answer about why he missed practice or why he didn't practice from the head coach, usually. But it's like Aaron is like, no, I'm telling you why. And so it makes me like, well, were Aaron and Robert on the same page? And if they're not on the same page in little small things like this, what do you expect when it's a critical moment in the ball game in the fourth quarter and you need to go make something happen? You know what I mean? So right. I think they got to find a way to resolve that, because these little small issues, as you talked about throughout the entire offseason, has been circulating too much. And if they don't nip it in the bud, it can become an issue once the season starts.
All right, Brian, before we cut you loose, Brian McFadden with us here on Dukes and Bell. Hopefully Michael Penix, you know, he's a rookie. There'll be mistakes. There'll be things that, you know, certainly he's going to clean up. That's what the preseason is here for. But what are you looking to see from our number 8 first-round draft pick?
Man, look like you have control of the offense. You know, be able to be in command of what is going on and just play ball. Like you said, it's the first preseason game. No one is expecting you to go out and throw for 5 touchdowns. But just go ahead and do what got you to this point. Be smart with the football. He's always been a smart guy when it comes to that. And just take what the defense is giving you and just let it – just sling it. Just let it sling. You know what I mean? So I'm excited. I think he's excited as well. And like I said, for all the young guys, man, this is an opportunity for you to open not just the eyes of the coaches, but the eyes of the fans as well, so they can start generating some conversation about, yeah, man, that kid should be playing a little more. We need to get him out there on the football field a little more. So I'm excited for Michael Penix. I think he's going to have a heck of a night.
Me too. Can't wait. The ball comes out. Where do you see this guy, man? The ball, it just, hey, man, have a great weekend, B-Mac. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, thank you.
That's our man, Brian McFadden. It's at Dukes and Bell. Chris in for Carl. And this hour of the show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Coming up, we'll look at the headlines and the Braves. Carl has pronounced him dead on arrival. Will they get any juice or will it be a rocky start? Next.
Oh, my.
Hey, man. It is Dukes and Bell. Chris Thomas in today. It's a quickie. We got 3 hours, and then we got to get you some Falcons pregame as you're taking on the Dolphins tonight. We just talked with Brian McFadden. And, yeah, I can't wait to see Michael Penix Jr. and the guys we drafted on defense. Hopefully we'll get after the quarterback, get some red zone action. Hopefully be more compelling than that god-awful game last night between the Patriots and Panthers.
Oh,
I was flipping back and forth from the Olympics and that. And it was just like watching the paint dry because you didn't get to see Bryce Young. But, again, it's preseason, so nobody's going to show their hand. But for Panthers fans feeling that Dave Canales is going to reinvent offensive football, you didn't get to see much of that last night.
No, not at all. And the quad quarterback room of the Patriots amounted to essentially a whole lot of nothing. Although Joe Milton actually looked like he could play a little bit, but obviously it is preseason. Drake May, I think he had 3 pass attempts.
Right.
He went 2 for 3. I mean, they're not showing you anything. But, Mike, what did we learn all offseason? Gerard Mayo, not exactly heaping praise on young Mr. May.
Yeah, I mean, guys are playing it close to the vest, both the Vikings and the Patriots. Normally, you know, like as we always joke around, we'd like to hear a little positivity about the quarterback. You know, Dan Quinn was always Mr. Sunshine. Nothing was ever wrong, even when things were completely gone off the rails. You know, but you'd like to see, if you're, I think, a young quarterback, somebody help build your confidence up. And they won't take debate on that. Both J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota and Drake May in New England, as far as trying to get some positives from their coaching staff. We were just laughing coming out of the break. We're watching, we got both TVs on, watching the Olympics on 2 different channels. And we were watching some of the women's shot put. And I was joking around with Chris. I said, you know, every sport's got groupies.
They do, yeah.
Somewhere out there, there's a guy who's got a fetish for Raven Saunders.
Listen, they're playing in front of a packed house right now. What can you say?
Every time I see Raven Saunders, look, God bless her, man. She's going to win gold. I mean, different strokes. All I can think of is Bane from Batman.
She was born in the darkness and molded by
I was molded by the shot put. She identifies as the Hulk. I'm sure identifying as Thor.
And Mike's actually not joking. She actually, that's
you,
her.
You can look it up.
Yeah, that's her thing.
Again, we've expanded our minds. Or more people. I don't know if we've around the guys that follow us on Twitter. It's been a lot of just, this is stupid. That makes no sense. I don't get this when it comes to the Olympics. Their words, not mine.
Are you referring to the breaking competition that took place this
All right,
morning,
you know what, real
Mike?
Quick. I was going to save this for the end of the show. Yes, Oren, we're all nostalgic for breakdancing back in the day. I lived in New York. I grew up seeing it authentic. I mean, where it grew up. And then I moved out to Long Island. And then I saw the bastardized version of suburban kids try and breakdancing. And now we get it off tour. There's kids from Australia doing it. This is the stupidest thing I have ever seen judged or in a form of competition. This breakdancing is the biggest joke and a waste of time. That this is an Olympic event and baseball had to take a timeout. Baseball is played on 5 continents. Now, we can debate the merits of letting us maybe stop baseball season for 2 weeks and have a dream team, which would be a great idea to market the team and market the players, because Major League Baseball never knows how to do that.
Nope.
But we can have a dream team for USA, and it would be great. But meanwhile, this is a sport. This and that stupid rhythmic gymnastics crap with running around with ribbons. It's garbage. It's not a sport, Oren.
I enjoyed it. I know it's not a sport. I enjoyed it. Snoop was there. Snoop seemed to enjoy it.
Snoop is everywhere. He's getting paid $500,000 a day to be there.
Bam Adebayo was there. He enjoyed it. They had good music. For what it was entertaining. Like the sport value, we can debate whether or not the merit of the sport is there. But for what it was, I was entertained watching it.
This year, I watched more Olympics than I ever had, because usually I crap on it for just the reasons. Now we're getting back to these last few days with all the stuff which I can't stand. It's further validation of why in the past I was Mr. Grumpus when it came to the Olympic movement.
Yeah, well, they saved it for the end. Here's was my issue with the breakdancing thing. It wasn't the actual competition itself. It was more so the commentary I was hearing from the judges. They were
the announcers were god awful. It's almost like they had never done that before.
Right. Well, because this has never been done like this before.
It's almost like they had never called the actual breakdancing itself. They did. It was more like they were watching it and observing it rather than actually telling you what it was. So they were more fan than actual commentator.
I'd rather watch Olympic wiffle ball. than this. I mean, this is painful. And again, the funny part, as Oren knows, there's always like the preamble, you know, before you jump down and do your thing. You know, you're moving around the perimeter of the dance surface.
Oh my gosh, there was some taunting going on at some point.
The shoulders start going. Yeah,
I didn't realize this. When you hit some moves, you have to actually face your opponent.
Right.
So if you do a move and you're not facing towards your opponent, your opponent will taunt you for that. Be like, hey, I'm right here, not over there.
I always like my. I got a good buddy. I'm 56, so John's pushing 60 now. Captain John, I've talked about, one of my oldest friends down in Naples. He's a boat captain. But when we get him tuned up at a club and there's a dance floor, Johnny starts moving, Oren, and it's what I've seen in this breakdancing. It's like the whole preamble before they go in. And I'm like, we're gonna get some Johnny dance.
Here it comes.
It's
Kevin
James scene in Hitch.
Yep. But at the end of the day, it reminds me of, all I can think of is, what's up with that with Jason Sudeikis from Saturday Night Live?
So good.
That's such a great character. So in the tracksuit, absolutely.
On that note, as Carl would say, and Carl does love he loves the breakdancing. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Headlines brought to you by ATL. Live well, don't just live.
Live well.
Yesterday, we were really, enamored, just totally fixated on what was going on because it looked like, wow, Serbia's got the U.S. By the short hairs, man. They were up 17, you know, late in that third quarter. And then USA gets it done, and here's what it sounded like at the end.
Micic's going to have to hurry. Yep. Bogdanovic puts it up. Short, and the United States, trailing by as many as 17, back from underneath the grave, advance to the gold medal game. 95-91, your final score. Steph Curry, magnificent. 36 points and heartbreak for Serbia.
That's Ian Eagle's son.
Noah.
Noah doing a great job with Dwayne Wade.
22 years old, I think.
I mean, yeah, it's nepotism, but you know he's taking the brass ring and he's running with it. You know, let's be honest.
Oh, he's good.
It doesn't sound bad. You know, it is. Look, I wish my dad was an announcer. Maybe I'd had a crack at doing some. As far as I got, Oren, was the Bluefield Orioles in rookie league baseball in West Virginia. That's as far as I got with my play-by-play gig. Not that I'm jealous or bitter. Hey, man, let's hear from LeBron James. Look, say what you want about LeBron. I said this to Carl yesterday, Chris. I don't know where you fall. I'm a big Michael Jordan guy. That's, you know, his era and his aura still, for me, is the greatest. But I respect LeBron and the fact that LeBron at this age, a lot of guys would have said, I'm not doing the Olympics, but it means something to him.
It was only a matter of time before he had one of these games. We could see it every day. He put too much work in not to have a game like this. And it was we went one any other way. And it was the perfect timing for Shep to come out and do what he did.
It's funny, Mike. Someone juxtaposed a couple of pictures together this morning I saw on Twitter. It was in 08, the Redeem Team. It was Wade, Melo, and LeBron. And then they put the picture from last night when it was Steph, KD, and LeBron. And you see fresh-faced LeBron in 2008, and then you see him with the gray beard and the receding hairline. But he had a couple of plays at the end of that game, Mike, where a reverse almost layup. He was on fire.
Man, well, we joked around before the Olympics that he was well-rested because the Lakers obviously didn't go very far in the playoffs, nor did Steph Curry, for that matter, other than beat Sacramento. But Steph Curry, he had some real struggle moments in these Olympics, and last night, or yesterday afternoon, he was on fire. And it's just so much fun to watch. Durant, Embiid had some big moments down the stretch. I saw a comment on social media from Dave Portnoy, who, of course, Barstool Sports, and he's made a fortune. And he's rooting against Team USA because he hates Steve. Like, I don't like Steve Kerr either. I mean, people, people respect guys who have used their platform to express their views, and that's fine. But, I'm not a fan of Steve Kerr. I think he comes off as pretentious. He's kind of like Popovich. He always acts like he's the smartest guy in the room, and sometimes he's not. And I thought he was lucky he won that game, because I thought their rotations made no sense. But I'm not going to root against Team USA because I don't like Steve Kerr.
No, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And if you can find a way not to root for Team USA after watching that game yesterday, there's something wrong with you,
man. Yeah, look, I get it. They're all gazillionaires. They're also the 0.0001% who can do what they do, and there's a market for it, and they've been compensated. And, it's a different era, as we said. We know more about these athletes for good and bad. But I'm not, come on. You're hating on guys. He's hating on Curry. He's hating on all these. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
And it's not like they were playing nobodies. They were playing the three-time MVP. Yes. And Bogey was maybe the best sixth man in the NBA.
Right. International game, which has caught up to the U.S. of A. And these guys want to be out there. And they're doing it. So that's hate that I just can't wrap my head around. Hey, man, you'll see some of the stuff today. We talked earlier about the 4x100. That didn't go the U.S.'s way. The other thing that annoys me while we're watching Olympics, the political stat guy from
Kornacki.
The Kornacki guy. I don't need this guy to explain the difference between 32 and 29. We've got 32 gold. The Chinese have 29. I can read a chart. I can read a graphic.
He caught fire, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago? And they have exploited this poor man.
You don't need this guy who gets off, obviously, on the polling and the statistical stuff when it comes to politics. I mean, that's really pushing it. I mean, that's really, come on. It's pretty simple. Any idiot can read a computer or look at a television and see how many gold, how many silver, how many bronze.
But Mike, he's pointing at it at a big, fancy, shiny TV screen. I mean,
anyway,
come on.
Again, it was funny. It's like all the goodwill I've thrown toward the Olympics has all gone out the window in one day. Hey, man, some other stuff for you. We're going to talk to Grant McCauley, 4:40 early because we're off today at 5 for Falcons pregame. The Braves out in Colorado. Sometimes that could be a good place to maybe get the bats started, but is it going to do anything for the pitching?
God, I hope so. Our buddy Grant Holmes is going tonight, eastbound and down, Mike. Mm. But on Sunday, the last three words you want to hear, TBD. Does that mean either a bullpen start or another scrub coming up from AAA?
You know, the Ronaldo Lopez on the heels of the Max Fried, and in all honesty, Max Fried probably needed a rehab start based on how he looked the last time. But this is the combination of the Braves not hitting, and then you throw in this, all of a sudden you don't have a lock on your fourth and fifth start, let alone now you got to go to six-man rotation sometimes. This is tough because, as we know, more times than not, it's almost like what they used to call Saturday Night Live, the not ready for primetime players. That's the Stripers. There's some guys that just spit the bit, you know, and the latest has been Bryce Elder after giving every opportunity to stick in the big leagues.
Yeah, and now they're doing the whole thing where they're giving Schwellenbach some extra rest because they want to make sure that he stays fresh down the stretch. Now, Mike, listen, we keep saying it, but it really is what it is. If Olsen and Riley aren't going to hit, it's done. That's it.
Look, the only thing, and Carl was trying to, it's funny because usually I'm the one who goes off, half-cocked, but Carl just feels they're done. Look, you're looking up at the Mets, D-backs, and Padres in the wild card. You're looking awful. You just got humiliated by the Brewers, and now you're going on a 10-game road trip. They don't see the Dodgers on this road trip, though. They see the LA Angels.
Yeah, the Angels, the San Francisco Giants, and the Rockies.
Only thing that could save the Braves is that Money Harris comes back and bats like friggin' Ted Williams, and the same thing goes for when Ozzie comes back. That's it. And Ian Anderson can pitch sooner than later. All right, man, there's your headlines brought to you by ATL LiveWell. We'll come back. We'll look at the NFL Blitz, including what team, which is an odds-on squad, to win the Super Bowl may implode before the halfway point of the season. Next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.